Thank you for joining us this morning for the Central Message. I am Teresa Levite, a member of Central Park Church of Christ in Tilton. I'm filling in for you today to bring you the Central Message. I hope you have a pen or pencil and paper handy because today you're going to have homework. Before we begin, let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, we come before you today to praise your holy name. Lord, you created us, you know us, and you have a plan for us, a purpose for each of our lives. As we study your word today, dear Father, I pray that we will have open ears and open hearts to hear your words and your message. Thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you pour out on us, for the promises you have made, and for the fulfillment of those promises through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. This week I wanted to talk to you about living for a purpose. We were all created for a purpose. We were created on purpose with talents and strengths to fulfill a purpose. But like so many topics we talk about, that's a pretty big topic. So what I want to do is talk to you about some of the stars of the Bible, the celebrities, I guess you would call them, all created for a purpose, just like you, and we will see what they have in common. But before we talk about these people, and by the way, they were real people and not just characters in a story. I think sometimes we tend to forget that. But let's figure out what we're talking about when we discuss our purpose. I've read a couple of books recently that I'll be referring to today, as well as God's Word in His Holy Scripture. One of the books is Ulla, Finding Balance in an Unbalanced World by Dave Braun and Troy Omdahl, also known as the Ulla Seeker and the Ulla Guru. The Ulla guys remind us often that we are created for greatness and for a purpose. And the people we would talk about today are pretty much like the Ulla Guru and the Ulla Seeker. Some of them pretty well maintained balance in their lives through the years. They made mistakes, they slipped or stumbled, but they managed to regain their balance. Others, not so much. They made mistakes, lots of them, and big ones, but God chose to use them. They had a purpose, and so do we. Even when we make mistakes and bad choices, even when our lives are out of balance. Another book I've just finished reading is Life's Golden Ticket, A Story About Second Chances by Brendan Burchard. This book is described by the publisher as a triumphant tale of personal growth and change that will inspire anyone who has ever wished for a second chance. And seriously, who doesn't want a second chance? I know I've missed the mark more than once when trying to live God's purpose for me. Three questions that Brendan asks in his book are, did I live? Did I love? And did I matter? And that's what we're going to talk about today. You were created for greatness and for a purpose. And at the end of your life, how will you answer these questions? Did you love? Did you live? Did you matter? I'm not a fortune teller, and I don't have a crystal ball, and I don't know anyone who is or who does. This is something you're going to have to figure out on your own. But you're not really alone in it, because you have God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to help you find your purpose. But I can show you examples of others who discovered their purpose, and their stories have lived on for us to learn from them today. In Jeremiah 29:11, we are told, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is one of my favorite passages that I go to whenever I need a reminder to focus on what's important. This tells us that God has a specific plan for us, for our lives. This doesn't say, however, that God has a plan for what we will have for breakfast, or which gym He wants us to go to. But based on His message and the rest of the Bible, I do think He has a plan that includes us eating food that will nourish and not harm our bodies, and to maintain a physical activity level that will help us maintain optimum wellness. But I'm getting way off topic now. This could become a whole nother subject. So, God made a plan for you. A plan to prosper and not to harm you. Isn't that encouraging? Even when we're going through something and struggling and feeling like we're being pulled down lower and lower, we can still praise God because He has a better plan for us. God has plans for us to prosper and to not be harmed. And by not be harmed, I interpret that to mean that we will have wellness, that we will have a good attitude and clear thinking, that we will not be separated from Him. These are God's plans. You still have the choice of making your own plans that don't include God's blessings of wellness in all areas of your life. You have the choice to feed your body the wrong foods and not being active enough to keep your body working properly. You still have the choice to fill your mind with negative and hurtful thoughts. But these aren't God's plans. Jesus makes that pretty clear to us. Another well-known passage reinforces the message that we are created for a purpose. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18 reads, You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Now this passage was paraphrased and summarized by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. If this doesn't make it clear that we were created on purpose and for a purpose, I don't know what will. You don't put that much attention and detail into something accidentally. And what is that purpose? That's an easy one. Paul told us in his first letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 10, verse 31, "Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, told us, "Let your light shine among men so that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven." That sounds pretty simple. But you know, simple isn't always easy. How many times in the course of a day do we have something we need to do, we know how to do it, and we have all the skills and abilities, but it's so hard to just do it? At the end of this message, I'll give you some tips on how to make that simple thing that's hard to do a lot easier. Now, let's talk about some of the more well-known people in the Bible who have lived lives of purpose. First is one of my favorites, Abraham. Before he was Abraham, God spoke to him as Abram in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. "The Lord has said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there." That passage spoke to me directly several years ago, when I was asked to serve as the youth director of a church that was a 2-hour drive from my family, my father's household, my home church and church family, and the job I had had for 10 years. This meant leaving the support and comfort of living close to my family. They were my safety net through many challenging years. It meant leaving teaching and encouragement of my church family. It meant finding a new job to pay the bills and leaving co-workers and students that I had built relationships with. God told me to leave that and go to the unknown to do His work. Yes, I knew the location and the job title I would have, but every church is different, and I had to trust God to give me a new church family, new friends, new co-workers, new assignments, and that was unknown. The instructions were simple, go and serve, but they weren't easy. And I can't say it was even always fun, but I can say I never feared the life He laid out for me. I always felt a peace and confidence when I was where He wanted me to be, when I knew I was living out God's purpose for me. Through the next 10 chapters or so of Genesis, Abraham and Sarah's story unfolds. They both make mistakes through the years, but don't we all? But overall, they did manage to live God's purpose for them. Genesis 21, verses 1 through 3, summarizes Abraham's purpose. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. Abraham's purpose was to become a great nation, the father of Isaac, who fathered Jacob, who fathered the 12 tribes of Israel. And through this, he brought glory and honor to God. Could Abraham answer yes to the questions, did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? I would say yes. If you read all of the adventures that Abraham took part in, he lived a full life. And did he love? Absolutely. Did he matter? Yes. Abraham living a life of purpose may sound simple, but it wasn't always easy. But you know what Abraham did that was easy? When God spoke to him as Abram, he showed up. He was there. He was present. And Abraham continued to show up right up to the end. Ruth is another one. She was created for a purpose, and she showed up. In chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Ruth tells her mother-in-law, Naomi, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." If that's not the ultimate picture of showing up, I don't know what is. Could Ruth answer yes to the questions, did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? I would say yes. The book of Ruth is short, just 4 chapters. I encourage you to read the entire story of Ruth and how she lived God's purpose for her life, to bring glory and honor to God, and to be part of the lineage of Jesus. Now let's take a look at David. David's life is recorded from the time he was a young boy till his death in the books of 1 Samuel through 1 Kings. David first made a big impression on us in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I won't read the entire chapter, but you've probably guessed already that this is the account of David and Goliath. David did something that was simple. It wasn't easy, or someone else would have done it before he arrived on the scene. But when David did arrive and summed up the situation, he knew what had to be done, and he did it. David showed up, and David continued to show up. As time went on, David made some poor choices. But David, referred to as a man after God's own heart, was born for a purpose, and he showed up. Could David answer yes to the questions, did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? And again, I would say yes. Have you noticed that I keep pointing out how everyone showed up for their purpose? That's because it's the first step to success. You know, if you want to be a success at school or work or whatever it is you do, you have to show up. If you don't show up, what happens? Well, in school, if you don't show up, you probably won't pass your classes. At work, you're probably going to get fired if you don't show up. If you have a hobby or an activity you enjoy, you still need to show up for that too. Showing up isn't everything or the only thing, but it's the first thing. It's the simple thing, but it's not always the easy thing. If you want to live God's purpose for your life, you've got to show up for that too. It's simple, but you've got to do it. Spend time with God. Listen to His message to you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you, showing you the way. We have been given two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is what brings honor and glory to God. This is what your purpose is. Yes, God has a plan for us, a plan to prosper us and not to harm us. And He knew those plans. He knew all the days ordained for you before one of them came to be. If you don't feel that God has revealed those plans to you yet, spend time in His Word. Spend time with God communicating through prayer. And spend time with your Christian brothers and sisters. If you still don't know a specific ministry or activity to be involved in, rest assured that God has given you a purpose, and you can live out that purpose wherever you are or whatever your career. And now, the homework assignment. Part 1. Find more people in the Bible who had a purpose and answered the call, who showed up. Part 2 of your homework. Spend some quiet time reflecting on these three questions and answer them honestly. At the end of your life, will you be able to answer the questions from the book Life's Golden Ticket with a yes? Did I live? Did I love? Did I matter? If not, you have a second chance. You can change the choices you are making. You can reach out to God and ask for forgiveness. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that God loves you. We are told in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you made the decision today to follow Jesus and live God's purpose for your life, you can pray this prayer with me today. Lord Jesus, I know that I have sinned against You. I'm sorry for my sins, and I ask Your forgiveness. I receive You as my personal Savior, and invite You to live in my heart from this day forward. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed this prayer with me today, please contact your minister or church leader who will be able to counsel you about the next steps on this new journey with God. Thank you for listening today. Before we go, I would like to invite you to join us each Sunday morning at Central Park Church of Christ at 1735 South Washington Street in Tilton. If you would like more information or to speak to one of our leaders, call the church office at 217-446-8947 and leave a message. Our Sunday school program begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service and children's church is at 10:30 a.m. We look forward to seeing you.